This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, entitled Prithu Maharaja's Meeting with the Kumaras, Text 31. Brasya jnana smitishtritam Jnana brahma shasmit Jnana brahma smitishaye Tatvodam kavaya prahur Atma pa navam atmana. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When one deviates from his original consciousness, he loses the capacity to remember his previous position or recognize his present one. When remembrance is lost, all knowledge acquired is based on a false foundation. When this occurs, learned scholars consider that the soul is lost. Purport. The living entity or the soul is ever-existing and eternal. It cannot be lost. But learned scholars say that it is lost when actual knowledge is not working. That is the difference between animals and human beings. According to less intelligent philosophers, animals have no soul. But factually, animals have souls. Due to the animal's gross ignorance, however, it appears that they have lost their souls. Without the soul, a body cannot move. That is the difference between a living body and a dead body. When the soul is out of the body is called dead. The soul is said to be lost when there is no proper knowledge exhibited. Our original consciousness is Krishna consciousness because we are part and parcel of Krishna. When this consciousness is misguided and one is put into the material atmosphere, his consciousness becomes polluted. One thinks that he is a product of material elements. Thus one loses his real remembrance of his position as part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as a man who sleeps forgets himself. In this way, when the activities of proper consciousness are checked, all the activities of the lost soul are performed on a false basis. At the present moment, human civilization is acting on a false platform of bodily identification. Therefore, it can be said that the people of the present age have lost their souls. And in this respect, they are no better than animals. So in his purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada actually describes, you could say, the living entities fall from grace, from the spiritual world to the material world. He writes, our consciousness, our original consciousness, is Krishna consciousness. But when that Krishna consciousness is misguided, one is placed or put into the material realm. Actually, the exact moment when this phenomena, this fall from grace, takes place is described very nicely by Jagadananda Pandit in his Prema Vivarta. He says, Krishna Bahir Mukahana Bhoga Vancha Kare Nikatashta Maya Tare Japatiya Maya. The exact moment. It is so precise, our philosophy of Krishna consciousness. No question goes unanswered. The exact moment we fell from our grace is described. Krishna Bahir Mukha means, Mukha means face, so Krishna Bahir means to turn, so Krishna Bahir Mukha. As soon as one becomes inimical to Krishna, one turns his face from God and desires sense gratification, he says, one is immediately struck down by the illusory energy of the Lord. There's no discussion, there's no debate, there's no bribes. Bahirmukha, as soon as you turn your face from God, you desire sense gratification, then immediately you're struck down by the illusory energy of the Lord. It's a nice analogy, actually. Like you're speaking to someone. Like I remember sometimes my mother was trying to instruct me, and I'd look away. Look at me, son, I'm speaking to you. It's disrespectful when you're speaking with someone, especially someone important, superior, elder, and you turn your disrespect. So Bahirmukha, Krishna Bahirmukha. When we turned our face from God, desiring sense gratification, immediately, London, New York, Moscow, something like that. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the analogy of lightning and the crack of the sound of lightning. It actually happens simultaneously. When there's lightning, you see the lightning and you hear the crack of the lightning, if you're very close. If you're far away, you see the light, then you hear the sound later, because light travels faster than sound. We learned this in the Boy Scouts. You can tell how far away an electrical storm is by counting the seconds. You know? There's the lightning, and then you count. One, two, three. This means that you're 4 miles away from the lightning strike. Probably you learn it as an Eagle Scout. But actually it's happening simultaneously. It looks to you like there's some difference, but it's only because of distance. But in reality, it's happening simultaneously. So soon, because we have our independence, love is nothing that is ever forced. Love is spontaneous from the heart. Krishna doesn't force us to love him, then it wouldn't be love. Love is a conscious choice. And choice means yes or no. Unfortunately, a very minute portion of the living entities choose not to love Krishna. And then, Prabhupada said, when this consciousness is misguided, one is placed or put into the material atmosphere. In Christian lore, they describe it like Adam and Eve disobeying the command of God. Don't eat the apple. But it's the same principle, to disobey God, to turn one's face from God, to desire something separate from God. At that moment, we're placed under the jurisdiction of the illusory energy, who is personified, as we well know, by Maya Devi. We're never fully independent. Either we are under the charge of Krishna in the spiritual world, or we're placed under the charge of Maya in the material world. Just like in Vedic culture, a girl's either protected by her father, or later by her husband, or in old age, in the event of the death of her husband, she's under the charge of her elder son. So in the same way, the living entity is never independent, but always under the guidance of the Lord, or if we choose so, to be under the guidance of the illusory energy, Maya Devi. We're never independent. One time, speaking on this subject matter, Sridhar Prabhupada gave the analogy of himself. Because analogies are good, because analogies help us understand a complex philosophical point. We may not catch it, but if there's an analogy, oh, now I understand some analogy. So, Prabhupada gave an analogy. He said, just like when he was young, he was sometimes naughty. That's okay for little boys to be naughty. One time in Dallas at the Gurukul, Prabhupada said, naughty in a boy means later on he'll be intelligent. So he was naughty, and his naughtiness was that he often didn't want to go to school. Mother couldn't get him. He would play hooky. So when his mother found this out, she would call Damodar. Damodar was the man who was in charge to take the naughty boys to school. And he was called Damodar because he had a rope. And he would tie the little boy up, well, not like that, but he would tie him and drag him to school. So Prabhupada said like that. He was under the jurisdiction of mother, but when he was naughty, he was under the jurisdiction of Damodar. No independence. So if we're not under Krishna's care, we have to be under somebody's care. So Durga takes over. Ekala Ishwara Krishna Arashab Bhritya Yare yache nachayate te tai chikari nutya. Very important verse. Lord Krishna alone is the supreme controller, and all others are his servants. They dance as he makes them dance. So Maya takes charge. And when she takes charge, Prabhupada says she has two functions. There's two main things that she does. She throws us down into the material creation. I'm just adding a little sound effect, but she throws us down into material creation, then covers us. These are her two potencies, to throw and to cover. She has to throw because spirit is superior to matter, so it requires a potent force to throw us down. Spirit is always more powerful than matter, so Maya has to take charge, and because of our disobedience, she has to throw us into the material creation. And the same force is used to cause us to cover us to, which means to cause us to forget our real identity. Instead of realizing, Jivir Supoya Krishnara Nityadas, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna in my spiritual body made of Sat Chit Ananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Instead of that glorious position, I begin to identify with a body made of matter that has 700 muscles, 352 bones, 3 liters of liquids, hairs, nails, and what is this amazing thing? That I was in my spiritual, glorious spiritual position, but now I identify with that which is totally illusion. This can only happen because Maya throws us and covers us, and we identify with a body, we identify with a particular family, a nation. This is a type of madness, actually. Maya means that which is not, to identify with that which I'm not. Just like many years ago, I was remembering in France, a devotee asked me to accompany him to see his father in a psychiatric hospital. His father had been in the psychiatric hospital 20, 25 years, so okay, I'll go. So we went to the psychiatric hospital somewhere outside of Paris, and as we came in, his father was sitting in a large, like a recreation room, all kinds of crazy people sitting there doing all kinds of crazy things. So my friend introduced me to his father. He said, "Daddy, this is my friend, Indradyumna Maharaj." And he said to me, he said, "This is my father." And his father said, "No, I am Napoleon." And I went, "Excuse me? I am Napoleon. I have just lost at Waterloo." He began crying. And the woman next to him said, "And I am Josephine." She was just listening in. So it was sad, but a little humorous. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. You know, he was thinking he was Napoleon. He was convinced. He was standing, sitting like Napoleon. Josephine was there. And kind of madness. But we laugh, but actually we're laughing at ourselves. But our position is the same. We identify with someone who we're not. I'm Mr. Smith. I'm from London. I'm the husband of, you know, Claire, and you know, we're dead serious that we're dead wrong. This is a very embarrassing situation. No one should have 1 ounce of pride in this material world because of our fallen position, to forget that we're spirit, soul, and identify with a body and a place. Just as crazy as the guy in the psychiatric ward. What's the difference? He's thinking he's Napoleon, we're thinking we're the body. Neither are true. So we all suffer from this madness. This is the covering potency of Maya. Very strong. Krishna Bhuli Se Jiva Anadi Bahir Mukh Ata Eva Maratari Deya Shamsharad Huk, they say in Bengal. Forgetting Krishna, the living entity has been attracted by the external feature from time immemorial. It's not just this first time we made the mistake, over and over. Therefore, the illusory energy, Maya, gives him all kinds of misery in material existence. We're reading about ourselves. So many miseries. We don't have to discuss the miseries now. We've discussed them so many times, and we have first-hand experience. The real question, And the positive alternative that Prabhupada offers in this verse is to free ourselves from this condition and again come under the shelter of our merciful Lord. That's the whole purpose of life. To free ourselves from the grip of Maya and again be placed under the shelter of the Supreme Lord. But we have to know where to take shelter. One time Prabhupada was walking on the beach in Mumbai with some of his disciples, and there were lots of a little group of crabs somewhere down the 20, 30 yards. And they were walking, and all of a sudden the crabs went left into the ocean. You gotta go sideways, crabs. So Prabhupada said, "You see the crabs, why have they done that?" And our Bhakti Swarup Damodar Goswami Sataputta, one of the scientists, "Well, Prabhupada, they are feeling the, we are stepping on the sand, so the electrical current is going very easily through the silicon of the sand and registering in the brain of the crab," and he's going, and Prabhupada said, "No. The crab is going into the ocean because he knows danger is coming, and he's very small. We're very great, and he is very small. He'll be crushed, so he knows where to take shelter. Although we are very powerful, the ocean is greater. He knows where to take shelter." So in this world of samsara, repetition of birth and death, we have to know where to take shelter. Again, the real shelter of the Lord. So in order to do that, we have to understand how the illusory energy is working. Like Prabhupada said, to take the Krishna consciousness means to declare war on the material energy. A declaration of war is a very serious thing. They don't, you know, it's not, maybe in the past they did it out of bravado, but nowadays, because of nuclear arms and so many, people don't declare war very easily. It's not a sure thing. America, of course, it wasn't an official war, but America was in Iran, or excuse me, in Iraq, and they pulled out. It was a no-win situation. You don't declare. So for the living entity to declare war on the material energy, you have to think about this carefully. To become a transcendentalist, to take the vow, like, to take the vow, to renounce material life, become, to transcend this world, to become a devotee of the Lord. This is the panamgati, this is the greater goal of life. You may or may not be successful. We should do it, but we should consider very carefully, what is our opposition? We shouldn't just not do it naively, we should do it with full understanding, by a careful research of Srila Prabhupada's books. How to get out of the material world and into the spiritual world. And know what is the opposition. In military school, every officer is taught that before considering an attack on the enemy, one should first analyze the enemy's strength and weakness. There's a book called The Art of War by Sun Tzu. And in chapter 3, verse 18, he says, "If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles." So Maya is like our enemy. We sometimes talk in militaristic terms in Krishna consciousness. But for this reason, she's the opposition. But in another sense, we understand how she's just doing her duty. Because she's a devotee of Krishna. And she has the thankless task of keeping the rebellious living entities in the material world. Just shows to what degree a devotee will do to please the Lord. Will accept any service if it's pleasing Krishna. Sabai pum sham pada dharmo yato bhakti radoksati ahaitakya patiyata yayatma shupashidati. The definition of pure devotional service. There's no material motivation. And one serves Krishna as Krishna desires. A serves Krishna's representative as he desires. Sometimes the service may be easy, sometimes it may be difficult, but we don't hesitate. We serve. So Maya has this thankless task of creating the web of illusion to keep the living entity bound up for some time. Actually, one time she Well, you could say she, I don't want to call it a complaint, but she questioned the Lord about this service. It's described in the Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There he describes how one time Maya Devi approached the Yuga Avatar, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and noted that by Mahaprabhu's mercy, everyone is getting the opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. This is discussed and analyzed numerous times in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's one of the main themes that Mahaprabhu is Patit Pavana. He's the deliverer of the most fallen. And therefore, Narottam Das Thakur, he raises his hand in his poetry and says, well, therefore, you should take me first because I'm the most fallen. Thinking like that. Mahaprabhu is so kind, he makes no distinction between who is high and who is low, who is black, who and white, who is male, female. Everyone. Krishna's the seed-giving father of all living entities. So in his incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wants to deliver all the living entities. In fact, during his presence, all the living entities in this universe were liberated. And Kaviraj Goswami says the universe filled up again. Because there's enough fallen souls to fill it up again and again and again. So the opportunity, at least the chance is there for everyone to go back. If Jagai and Madhai made it, maybe we can make it also. One time Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, 1932, at an initiation lecture, he concluded, I see no reason, he said, this is in the Harmonist, I see no reason why all my disciples cannot go back to Godhead in one lifetime. He was seeing like that. So if we're strict, we follow and we serve in the association of devotees, it's possible. So Maya Devi, knowing this special incarnation of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she said, Lord, by your mercy, everyone is getting this special chance to go back to Godhead but me. I have to stay here and perform this service that, you know, to keep them in illusion until I see their determination to serve you again. But I have to stay. But what is this? I'm the only one who's not going? Mahaprabhu smiled and he said, actually, you are an expansion of Yogamaya. You're already in the spiritual world as Yogamaya. As Mahamaya, you are keeping the living entity. There you're in the spiritual world, you are causing the residents of Vrindavan to forget that Krishna is God, so that they can enjoy the intimate, sweet, loving pastimes of Vrindavan. But in your expansion as Mahamaya, you're causing the living entities to forget Krishna also, but in a different way. It is the cause of the misery, as Prabhupada said here. The same potency that causes the residents of Vrindavan to forget Krishna, to facilitate sweet loving pastimes, the same potency is used to bewilder the conditioned souls. This is a very powerful potency that we're working against. One time Prabhupada said to my godbrother Kulashekhar in Seven Bury Place in London, he was chastising him. He was a little frivolous, so Prabhupada said, the problem with you is you're not afraid of Maya. Maybe become a little complacent after some time in devotionals, a little familiar, maybe a little pride comes, I'm advancing. Prabhupada said, you challenge. Your problem is you're not afraid of Maya. Oh. Just like in dealing with fire. We deal with fire all the time. We cook, we heat water, it's used in factories. So after some time, when we be careful, fire can purify, fire can destroy. When you're dealing with fire, always be careful. So as long as the devotee is in this material world, the race is over, not over till it's over. Up until the last minute, anartha nivritti, when all the unwanted things are gone from the heart, uvaga. We say in Polish, watch out, be careful. We're working against a very powerful opponent. Her name is Rudrani. She goes by different names. One of Maya Devi's names is Rudrani. She is the wife of Shiva. And he is Rudra and she is Rudrani. Prabhupada said Rudrani means she who makes you cry forever. Ooh. You go to the Hindu homes to do a program and you see the picture of Durga there. And she looks so beautiful. The demigoddesses are very beautiful. Wait a minute. What's that lady riding on a tiger for? What's that pitchfork in her hand? She looks very beautiful. Whoa, wait a minute. What is that? I'm worshipping her with the mantra to get material benedictions. But wait a minute. Something. Let me look at this. Why is she riding a tiger? Well, the tiger is death. She's riding the tiger of death and the pitchfork, adiatmic, adibhotic, and adidaivic. She teases the living entities with various miseries. She sometimes appears cruel, punishing. Punishment is a form of purification, but actually she's rectifying. How is she rectifying? By frustrating our material desires to enjoy separately from Krishna, we eventually come to our senses. Because if something doesn't work after a while, hey, what's the alternative? Like if I sat down and this microphone wasn't working, I can play around with it for 2 or 3 minutes. But if I'm still here after 45 minutes, like, you know, what's Maharaj doing? This is crazy. If something doesn't work, after a while, you change. You look for an alternative. We're very obstinate. Brahmanda Brahmati Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prashad Pai Bhakti Latavid. We're wandering from Brahmanda to Brahmanda, from species of life to species, from body to body, since time immemorial. We don't get the point. You can't be happy here. We're still trying, hoping against hope. But at some point, we want to change the microphone. At some point, we come to our senses. It has to be. You don't stay here eternally. It could be a long, long... At some point, you come to your senses. Then Maya's job is complete. And that's the purpose of this creation, to bring us back to our senses. The scientists and philosophers are searching for the cause of creation. They're spending billions and billions and billions of dollars in scientific research, anticipating something very great. They'll discover the purpose, the initial cause and the purpose. They will be very surprised if and when they find this truth, that the purpose of creation really is to frustrate our perverted desire to be separate from Krishna. Boss, that's all it is. What? That's all? Yes, sir. And you could have learned that by reading first canto of this book. You didn't have to. It doesn't cost $1 billion. It costs $4. Right here, Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like there's a traditional lore that the people of the village heard that the Himalayas were going to give birth. Whoa! The Himalayan mountains are going to give birth. Yes, they're going to give birth. Oh, they're so great, so massive. What an occasion. Wow, something amazing, amazing will come out of the Himalayas. So everyone assembled before a large cave. Himalayas are going to give birth to the cave. There's huge rumbling and the mountains are shaking like earthquake. And the cave opens up. And what comes out? Squeak, 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 squeak. A little mouse. What? All this big talk, all big expectations, and a mouse comes out. This is a story. To illustrate this point, the scientists are thinking, yes, we'll find, but when you find the purpose of this creation, sir, you will. Squeak, squeak, squeak. It's just to bring us to our senses. It's like a man is unconscious. Bring him back to his senses. After 6 hours, come back to your senses. Try to bring a person out of a coma. So try to come out of the coma of the deepest sleep, the deepest ignorance, forgetfulness of that God is very great, I am very small, He is the master, I am the servant. He's the most beloved, I am His lover. So she has her seva. So it can go either way. But we should understand her potency. In punishing or rectifying, we should never underestimate her power. And while we are conditioned, because we should not think, oh, this is such a simple verse, another class, I'm not this body, purpose of human life. Well, repetition of something is necessary to come to really understand, vigyan. Because if we contemplate, even for one moment, a material desire, we're still in the bodily concept of life. If some desire comes up from the marsh of your past karmic activities and your deep desires, the roots, like a banyan tree, the roots go deep. So these deep desires that are there, it's something like sometimes on the lake, you know, you're on the boat and you see little bubbles coming up. It's the silt, it's the mud, it's being agitated. So the result is some little bubbles come up to the surface. So sometimes some bubbles of material desires come to the surface. Even, well, in the process of devotional service, they come up. Let us be frank. Adoshradha, tatarusanga, tabhajana kriya, anatta nivritti shyat. This stage of anatta nivritti, completely freed of material desires, this is not so easy to attain. And at that point, real devotion to the Lord begins. It is still devotion now, like green mango, ripe mango, but it's not as pleasing to the Lord as pure devotion, amala bhakti. So desires will come. Not so much here in Vrindavan, but when you get back home and you see the billboards and there's this and there's that and the television, whoa, and they surface. So if you contemplate, maybe you don't, and that desire doesn't cause you to act in a material or sinful way, but you just think about it for a moment. No. But if you think about it, this means you are not yet on that initially, you know, that platform of steadiness. It's still a lot of work, so we're still on the bodily platform. You make a little, during the day, a little graph. How many thoughts are for me and how many thoughts are for Krishna? Because Prabhupada said, the definition of lust is for me and the definition of love is for Krishna. So how many of our thoughts are for the service of Krishna? How much are to facilitate beyond our basic requirements ourselves? We have to think, we have to be honest with ourselves. Honesty is the best policy. To know where we're at so that we can make the next step in devotional service. So while we're in this condition of a little weak, like when you're sick, you know, when your immune system's down, you gotta be careful. Here in India, if you catch a bad cold, a flu, then your immune system's down and you may get TB, because you can't fight so well. So when you're down a little, when you're a little weak, raga, be careful. We're not that spiritually strong yet that we can stand up, you know, like we're not like Hare Das Thakur in our chanting. We can convert Maya Devi. No. We're coming up in our chanting. It will protect us. But Ulaga. She can strike at any moment. I was in Varanasi the other day. I went to Varanasi because it's a holy place. It's mentioned in the Rig Veda, Skanda Purana. Mahaprabhu had many wonderful pastimes, delivering Prakashananda Saraswati, the Mayavadi, the beautiful deity of Bindu Madhava. So I went to take darshan. And on the way, I met a snake charmer. And he had cobras in his basket. So he just received these cobras, so they didn't have their fangs out yet. Because I know they all have their fangs. I say, yeah, attention. He said, these cobras, I haven't taken the fangs out. And they thing, and they went, shh. And I went, whoa. He laughed. He said, no, don't worry. He gave me this piece of wood, which he got from his guru. He said, you hold this in your hand and you see what happens. Well, I'm not. You do it. No. You are a sannyasi. You're supposed to be fearless. Yeah, we know. And all the people, yeah. Okay. So I took the wood and the snakes went back in the basket. Huh. What is that wood? He said, it is something mystical. Then he said, but if you ever get bit, he said, here's a little stone. Comes from outer space, he said. And if you get bit, you put the stone over the bite and all the poison will come out. I said, yeah, right. He showed me three times he'd been bit and he said he did it like that. So he said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Bengal. I'm going to Sridhar Mayapur for Gur Purnim. He said, so you take. What? He gave me that wood and he gave me that stone. I don't know if I... Yeah, you never know. I said, are you a mystic? Are you predicting? He said, no, you're a sadhu I give. Yeah, I give to you. So I have in my bag here. You never know when Maya's going to strike. So if you get bit by a snake, just... I'm over down by the Trichomemaria. Just gonna... So, but we have something even more potent. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Nama Nama. And we should be prepared. That mantra can protect us from the. Just like when, in the Ramayana, when the golden deer was there, so then Sita asked Ram to go get the golden deer, so he went. And then the golden deer called out, Marichi called out, Lakshman, help, help, help. It wasn't Ram calling, it was actually the golden deer, Marichi, the magician. So then, Sita said to Lakshman, who was protecting you, go, your brother. He said, no, you know, this is the trickery of the demon. She said, no. You know, there's a whole pastime there. So eventually he agreed to go. So when he left, he took his sword and with mantra, he drew a circle around, a mystic mantra around her, the sword. He said, as long as you stay here, you'll be protected. Outside, what can I do? And he left. So then, you know, Ravana came. Here's a young princess, fair young princess, soft skin, not used to living in jungle, certainly cannot defend it. The greatest asura the world has ever seen. And he comes and he tries to, but because of the mantra, there's this protective force around her. He couldn't come close. This great asura couldn't touch this young lady every time he. So he tricked her. He dressed as a sadhu and came again and asked for some alms. And she stepped outside of the circle and immediately caught. So we have that protective force around us. Of course, chanting of the Maha Mantra is more about developing love of God, but the mantra also protects us in this world of death, birth and death. So if we're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare, Hare Rama, that is our strength. And we must employ it. Just like a samurai, the samurai warriors. It's said that the samurai warrior, his strength lies in three things. His sword, his gold, and his mirror. If you ever met a samurai. He always has sword, he has his gold, and he has mirror. This is his, if he loses them, he loses his strength. By his sword, the sword is his power to cut down his opponents. His gold is his wealth to amass an army. And his mirror is his ability to deceive others. Because a lot of warfare is deception. But we are not samurais. We're Brahmins. We're Brahmin Vaishnavas. And our strength is superior to any samurai. With it, we can even subdue Maya. Daivyesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye papadyante mayam etam tarantite. This divine energy of mine consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome, but those who surrender unto me can easily cross beyond it. In other words, by taking shelter of the spiritual master in Krishna, we can overcome this powerful illusory force. Alone we cannot do it. This is the weakness inherent in the process of yoga and jnana, that the yogis and the jnanis are trying on their own strength to overcome the material energy. Maybe in some rare instances they're able to do it, but generally not. But a devotee can do. Alone we should never attempt it. Just like Sun Tzu, he advises, if you're equally matched, offer battle. If you're inferior in numbers, avoid the enemy. And if you are unequal in every way, flee from your opponent. We should run away. But we can stand, serving Guru and Krishna, armed with this. Well, Krishna says, armed with transcendental knowledge and armed with the Maha Mantra, then we can be successful. Apana samshitam goram yan nama bishvasho grinan tata sadyo vimuchyeta yad bibeti svayam vayam. This verse is often on the tongue of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately, even by unconscious chanting of the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. What a comforting verse. So when Maya Devi, who is a chaste, faithful, and loyal servant of Krishna, sees that we have chosen to give up our selfish pursuits for sense gratification and serve her beloved Lord, and she sees that because it's manifest in our chanting and our japa and our congregational and our harinam, then she lifts the veil of illusion, Prabhupada says. This is what she does. When she sees our sincerity, it's like she waves this magic wand and the illusion goes away. And not only that, because she herself is a devotee of Krishna, she then facilitates our service to Krishna. This is the heart of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava, his unhappiness is to see others bereft of Krishna consciousness, and his joy in Krishna consciousness is to see people get the opportunity for Krishna consciousness. This is the central theme in our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. It's the heart of every Vaishnava, that they always want to share their good fortune with others. This is Maya Devi. So therefore, she can facilitate, not only can she lift the veil of illusion, she can also facilitate. Where is the example? Katyayani Mahamaye Mahayogan Adishvare Nanda Gopa Shutam Devi Pati Me Karate Namaha. O Goddess Katyayani, the girls of Braj are praying, you who are possessed of the creative energy, O great yogini, Mahayogin Adishvare, O great yogini, praise unto you. My prayer to you, please make the son of Nanda my husband. They are praying to Katyayani, an expansion of Durga, Maya, to facilitate their Krishna consciousness, to facilitate their Braj Bhakti. They're praying to Katyayani, you please make the son of Nanda, make Krishna my husband. They're praying like that. So, just like the magnet has two potencies. The magnet can repel and the magnet can attract. With the same dynamism. The same point. You take a magnet and you put another magnet and then you can feel the force. You try to put them together like big magnets. You can hardly put them. Not little magnets, but big. And you put them, turn them around, and the fourth is opposite. So as Maya works under the direction of the Lord to keep the living entities bound birth after birth, when they come to their senses, they want transcendence, and especially when they become Vaishnavas, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then she gradually can lift the illusion. And when she sees full sincerity, then she can facilitate, just like the gopis are praying like that. So she will see that. She can see. She knows us well. And gradually you'll feel her influence decreasing. And that mentality, she has to see the mentality. Lord has to see the mentality of the devotee. Prabhupada said, your bhajan will be... The real nature of your bhajan will be seen at death. We can chant nicely and dance in the kirtan, and but it has to really come from the heart, like Madhava's always saying. All together now, from the heart, everyone chant loudly. The chanting should be done to please the Supreme Personality, glorifying Him. And when that is seen, then genuine advancement is being made, and these things will happen. So she can see the heart, and then she responds. That state of the heart is nicely described by Rupa Goswami, how a devotee wants to get out of the material world and serve his beloved Lord in his Padyavale. He prays, "My Lord, I'm drowning in the painful, fathomless whirlpool of repeated birth and death. O Lord, O friend of those who have no other shelter, O effulgent moon of mercy, please, just this one time, kindly extend your hand to save me." Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Shupemanande. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.